So thank you and welcome for coming and joining me tonight. This is the second in my Feng Shui Monthly Teleseminar series. And I decided to start doing some of these towards the end of the summer. Things kind of slowed down a little bit for me and giving more people the opportunity to learn a little bit more about Feng Shui and also ask questions. And I actually have topics every month, but I'm open to whatever people are interested in. So if you would like a particular topic or whatever, just email me and I'll consider putting that on as a topic in the future. And of course, any questions you have, you can always email me ahead of time so that I make sure to have mention them on the call or again within the seminar time that we have as well. So again, we're beginning, and our topic tonight is Feng Shui Demystified. It's really kind of talking about sort of the some of the issues that people might have with Feng Shui and also how to enhance any results that you have already, if you've already done some Feng Shui, how to kind of enhance those results. So my name is Belinda Mendoza, and I'm a Feng Shui consultant. I've been doing Feng Shui now for almost 17 years, hard to believe. And my website is designforenergy.com, where you can sign up for my newsletter or updates on classes, and I do try to keep everything on that newsletter going out at least monthly for people to know about. I also have a blog, which you can sign up for on my website, which is at designforenergy.com, and I have a Facebook page, Design for Energy, so you can post questions or send pictures or whatever, anything like that that you might have. The other thing is I actually have a few gifts for anybody who is on the call tonight. As a participant, you automatically get 10% off any Feng Shui service throughout the year, and just reference this seminar. I always offer a free 30-minute phone assessment by appointment to determine needs that people might have and offer some brief assistance. That also gives me an opportunity to find out a little bit more about you and how I might be able to help you. And if for some reason we don't work together then, we might work together in the future. Tonight you receive an hour Feng Shui consult, which is valued at $150 for only $75 if you schedule by this time tomorrow night. I do many phone consults. I do a lot of people who don't live in the city of Austin or Texas even. It's the way I first had my home done years ago. My master teacher was in New York. So you can just go to designforenergy@gmail.com and say you were on the call, and you can pay for the consult by going to my website and clicking on PayPal. The offer is good till tomorrow night. It goes back to normal after that, but your consult is good for any life issue or design problem, and it's good for 6 months. So it is a good buy, but only offered to folks who are on this call. And you can, like I said, go through the website for that. Let's see. So again, as I mentioned, I'm a 16-year or 17-year now consultant, and I'm also a Reiki master. So I do a lot of energy work on people, and I also space clear a lot of homes. That wasn't really what I started out to do, but it just seems to be a real complement to Feng Shui in allowing people to have a clean slate, so that when they get ready to implement changes and move things around, that there's an open palette. They don't have anything stuck there that would be holding them back. I spent over 20 years in sales and marketing for pharmaceutical and medical device companies, and before I decided to just resign in 2000 to do Feng Shui full-time. And I'm also president of the Northwest Austin Business Connection. For those of you who live in Austin and might be entrepreneurs, it's a way to put Feng Shui in action, to actually market your business. And you can find us on meetup.com. I'm also the new author of Feng Shui for Healing the Loss of a Pet. It's my first book. I had actually thought I would be, my first book would be on Feng Shui for design of some sort, but because I had a personal issue or what you would say circumstance and that I lost my beloved pet and I journaled to get through that, it flowed that I had to share the Feng Shui part of me to get through the grief, and that's how the book came about. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble website as an e-book as well as a paperback, and also I do have a Facebook page, Feng Shui for Healing the Loss of a Pet, which I really would hope that people who have lost pets would go there and post a picture and maybe a little tribute. That's the goal of that. And I'm also fostering and promoting for people to rescue animals, because there's over 4 million animals a year that get euthanized, and if we don't get them from rescue groups, then they land up not getting a life. And it not only helps that animal, but it also helps your heart, and it helps you heal. I run a monthly dog group for Yorkshire Terriers. So if you're in Austin and you have a Yorkshire Terrier, it's AustinYorkshireTerrierMeetup.com. And we meet once a month. I did that in honor of my terrier that died. And it's a way for me to connect with other dog owners and do something for the community. And that's one of the things that I do as well. I can be reached anytime at 512-740-1251 for any questions. And you can always email me at designforenergy@gmail.com. Okay, so tonight our talk is about debunking some feng shui myths and why feng shui works for some people and not others. Also, how to enhance your results. So for those newcomers out there to feng shui or you feng shui fanatics, I hope this mini seminar will be very interesting and useful to you. So let's talk about what feng shui is not. It's a very big misconception that feng shui has some spiritual components, or you have to, you know, it has a religious kind of thing to it. And really it is not a religion at all. It's based on a philosophy, which we'll talk about. But it's any person of any belief system or what you might think about as far as that is really, you would love feng shui. It's really the art of living in harmony. And it's also about, the actual words are wind and water, and it's about optimum flow and improving the energy flow in your own life. In nature, everything flows automatically and very naturally. But in our own lives, we can block that flow with our thoughts and with objects and with things that we put in front of us without even knowing it subconsciously. So it's not anything like that. So people of any religious affiliation can practice feng shui and not feel like they're in conflict with that. Where the spirituality comes into it for me, because I happen to be a very spiritual person, and I'm also cognizant of other people in what they might believe, is I do ask people, you know, do you have a religious affiliation or spiritual leaning? And if they say yes, you know, we're Hindu and we love, you know, to use Ganeshas and we love, you know, prosperity symbols, or we're a Buddhist, we love to put Buddhas up for, you know, reminding us of the Buddha nature, then we'll incorporate those in with their design. And that's really more where that comes in. Because, you know, we need a balanced life, and there's many areas of our life, you know, our health, our relationships, our career, our wealth, our fame and fortune, our relationship with our children, and one of them is spirituality. And it may not be religious for some people. It may just be their awakened nature or their self-cultivation or how they get to know themselves. Whatever that is for people, it's really individualized and can be incorporated with the feng shui, because again, we're looking at achieving total harmony in your space and having a sense of balance, so that therefore you have a sense of balance in your life. It is not a new age fad. That, and by what I mean by that is, it's because it's not new. It's 4,000 years old, and this is not something that you know, some people 4,000 years ago made up and said, you know, this is kind of cool, let's just do this. This was absolutely a science and a philosophy that 4,000 years ago governed how people lived their lives and how they observed things in nature so that they could mimic it and therefore have some results in their own life. The ancient Chinese that were 4,000 years ago, it was an agrarian society. So they were all about working the land, fishing and farming, so they could feed themselves. So they looked for the best, you know, rivers and lakes and the best mountains to protect them from the cold winds. So this is where they would put their particular house or where they were living. And that's what they would look for, and they would observe nature for that, and that sort of that idea of harmonious placement. Then later the emperors came around, and they decided they wanted to access this information, and they were the only ones that could really have it. They employed feng shui masters, but they wouldn't let anybody else have access to them because they wanted all the power. And they said, you know, help us harness this energy and help us build our sites on the best land and the most auspicious areas that we can do it. And we also want to have we want to be buried there. So the original origins the origins of feng shui were to build burial sites for the emperors so that they could have very good luck and prosperity in the afterlife. And so that was their premise. But beyond that, you know, the early Chinese, I mean, they just observed everything and they saw everything that had energy. And they call this energy, or the Chinese word is qi. So when they did this, they said, you know, well, there's a system in place here that works. There's every four, you know, there's four seasons, there's elements, there's colors that go with that, there's land formations, and they all mean something. Everything is symbolic. And so that's sort of the beginnings of feng shui. And then we have now some 4,000 years later to the future, we use all of these principles now in design and how we align our space. Because the key is we're trying to improve the energy flow within the current environment that we're in so that we can harness the best qi and the best energy for our lives. Because then we'll be in harmony with nature and we'll have a better flow in our own life. It's not a magic bullet. So in other words, you know, you don't hang a wind chime and win the lottery, although you can. But that is not necessarily a feng shui thing. That has a lot more to do with a lot of factors. You know, what feng shui does is it sets up the opportunities for you to be able to receive the things that you're wanting in life, and also to be able to not block things that are part of your destiny. But certainly there are people who do things, and very small things, and then they have great results. But we know that many, many lottery winners, you know, didn't lead a very good feng shui life, and out of just pure luck, they, you know, had a huge winning, and then we know that within years or even a year that they've lost all the money. So that's not good feng shui. So it's really not a magic bullet, and that's something that sometimes I get calls, you know, people, they call up and they don't ask about the design of the space. They say, you know, my life's, you know, in a real problematic state. You know, my husband and I are arguing, and my children, you know, are not doing well in school, and the health is terrible, and, you know, and so I need a feng shui consult, as though that is going to fix all that. And what it's really going to do is it's going to make you more aware of what you're doing to create that, and it's also going to make you more aware of what needs to be worked on, and it's going to open up your life. And I always tell my clients, I said, if you're really open and ready for change, then the universe is going to send you somebody like me. And because many of my clients will experience a huge shift and change in their life, almost to the detriment of what they were expecting, because it causes them to have to almost upheaval their current lifestyle to get to the new. And so that's why I always tell people, this is really all about shifting energy, moving energy, and creating change in your life. And those changes can be fabulous, but they can also be a little bit scary for people. And that's why it's important to be open to the process and allow it to unfold in the way that it's naturally designed for your life. It's not a miracle cure. Again, this idea that, you know, I have breast cancer, you know, can you come and feng shui my house and what have you. Although I have had clients that, you know, where I went to their home, they didn't tell me. I had one client, let me put it that way, this particular situation, where I went to her home to feng shui it. She did not know she had a health issue. And about a month later, I didn't hear from her. I usually like to hear back from my clients after I've been there and they've implemented the changes. And then I saw her just at an event, and she had on a scarf, and her head was bald. And I said to her, Connie, I said, how are you? And she said, well, I've been through an ordeal. And I said, what happened? She said, I found out I had breast cancer. And this was after we did all the feng shui, she said. And so she never contacted me. And I said, well, how are you? And she says, well, they caught it early. She says, I'm doing great now. I'm in remission and, you know, things are great. And so you can get, you know, somewhat scared by that because you think, well, gosh, I did this and this happened. But in reality, it was an undetected health issue. And the energy started to flow so that it could be detected, and it was detected early. And so she's, you know, totally been in remission and has been well. But for some people, that can be a scary thing. And so that's why we want you to know that while it's not a miracle cure, it can absolutely have some amazing effects, but it's not something that you can say, you know, this is exactly what's causing it every time. Also, it's not a woo-woo art, and I use the two words, W-O-O, W-O-O, because oftentimes people think of it, you know, because of some of the books that have been written, that it's kind of this, you know, funky, you know, woo-woo thing, and, you know, only people who are fortune tellers or into some weird stuff would be interested in this. And that comes from a lot of the early books, I think. This is my own personal opinion, that a lot of the very early books on feng shui, because it came from Asia and it's a Chinese art, and in the old days, they didn't have philosophies or books to tell them how to think. They observed nature for everything. So they would describe things very simply. And then the Asian culture uses certain remedies and things. So when people say, you know, hang a red ribbon and, you know, you might have some luck here, you know, it sounds kind of that way. But the reality is that they're really working with the five elements and adding energy to a space, because everything has energy. So I often tell, you know, I'm not a practitioner who does a lot of the traditional Asian cures so much so as finding the best cure for your space that works within your decor, within what your comfort level is. I mean, it wouldn't help me to put a Bagua mirror on your front door if every time you walked up to it you said, oh, my God, I hate that thing, because then that would deflect the energy, you know, as well. But another, a brass door knocker that's the shape of a lion, for example, if you have that type of a house, would work the same, because it's got a shiny finish and it's a reflective nature. So that's sort of how that can work. So you don't necessarily have a you know, Chinese food store looking environment just because you're implementing feng shui cures. That's just one of the, you know, things that people often think. So as we talked about, if you're just coming in on the call, we welcome you. And if you'll star six your phone, that way we won't hear any background noise. And then if you have any questions, you just star six and ask me anything you'd like. And feel free to interrupt. And again, I'll stop in towards the middle and end for questions as well. So we just kind of talked a little bit about, you know, what are some of the things that people might not use feng shui because they think it's a little strange, or they think that it may not work or what have you. And part of that is just not having experience with it. You know, I myself have a lot of experience with it, and I'm also always trying new things. I mean, my house actually looks like a feng shui laboratory because I always have different things up that I'm testing and trying. And if you practice feng shui or you know anything about it, there's two schools, the East and West. The Eastern school is the traditional that comes from China, and they use a compass. The Western uses more of a map, which is called a Bagua, and they orient it to the front door of your space. That is what everybody uses for everybody's doorway, so it's the same. In traditional feng shui, they don't do that. It's based upon the year your house was built and the direction your house is facing, what type of energy your house has. And I practice both. I use the compass more now in the last probably, you know, 7 or 8 years primarily, but I'm trained in both, and they work together very well. So depending on which one you're more familiar with, and for people who are new to feng shui, if you want to learn the Western method or the Black Hat sect, the series of books that are called Feng Shui for Dummies, that has one for teaches you the basic basic Western method. And if you want to learn the classical method, which comes from China, uses a compass, then you pick up the series Feng Shui, the Feng Shui Guide, Idiot's Guide to Feng Shui. So those are those two book series. You know, one is for dummies and one's for idiots. But that tells you the difference in the two schools if you really wanted to just learn basic feng shui and get that. It has the differences there. But they both work well. I find that they need each other, because not one school has the answer to everything. And in the Black Hat sect, the Western method, when I started, there was only one book on the market, and there was 9 cures. And then you had variations on those. Well, now there's probably thousands of cures, because they realize that when energy shifts and changes, you can't keep the same cure. You have to keep doing. And so, but on the other method, we're using the classical form. Once you have oriented your house, you know which orientation it is, and you're using the balancing it with the five elements, then you really don't need as many cures, because you're already working with nature. So that's part of why I use both, just because you know, one doesn't always cover everything. But anyway, that's just basics. And, you know, we have some things that we know that create good feng shui, and that is to get rid of clutter. If you do nothing else but just go out and clean out your office, if you're having problems with your business and you want more money, just clean out the clutter. If you're having problems with your relationship and you want a partner or you want your partner to be more loving, go in and clean out under the bed. Clean out the closets. Clean out the bedroom. Make it look more romantic. You know, you take action on some area of your house that's affecting that life area, and things start to shift. And they also start to shift because you have intention. You say, I am intending to have a better relationship, or I'm intending to have more harmony and good health in my life. Okay, so the other thing I wanted to just mention is that when I said that, you know, it's not a woo-woo art, it's based in quantum physics. So, you know, it's not just this philosophy, which is the Tao, T-A-O, and that's about being in harmony with nature. That's the philosophy, but the science is that it's based in quantum physics and that everything is made up of energy. We know Einstein proved that. He says every time something, you know, anytime you, let me see how, nothing happens until something moves. We move a piece of furniture, we create a shift, however little, but it does create a movement. And that's why we tell people to move. Like if you have stagnation in your life, you feel like, you know, you're just doing everything right, but things just seem to have come to a halt, then every 27 days, move things around in your home. And it could be just moving a couple of things. I've been into people's homes where, you know, they didn't move a couch for like 40 years. It's in the same location. And they're very stagnant. You know, things are not moving in their life. So you just come in and move furniture around. You think move things around. You create movement, and then the stagnation clears up. So that's really something that's really easy to do. So removing the clutter, moving things around every 27 days. Also, to create a constant flow of money in your life is to have like a money bowl. Just have like a glass bowl or something like that. Where you just throw loose change in every day, and every 27 days you spend it. So that gives you this movement of energy, of money. You're not hoarding it. You're not holding on to it. You're allowing the money to flow. And that also is another feng shui remedy that people use. Feng shui is used in design, gardening, architecture, site planning, geomancy, which is looking for the best land to build your home. I do a lot of that, you know, where people say, can you come look at this piece of land? I'm thinking of building a house on it, you know, and making sure there's no, you know, underground water. We do dowsing, use dowsing rods for that, or to just see that, you know, it's in a good location. It's used for decorating, again, symbolically putting things in place that have meaning for you so that everything that surrounds you is not only that you love it, but it's that it's kind of reflecting where you are in your life and where you want to go. It's great for design because it helps you create that layout that we're talking about with good flow. And it's good for real estate staging. So people trying to sell property, you know, people come into a house, they're buying the house because of the way it feels. You know, it doesn't matter what you've done to it. It's how it feels. Now, granted, the decorating, the curb appeal, the layout all adds to that. That's what creates that. But, you know, the staging is the critical part, which is setting it up to it so that it's inviting and that it really appeals to prospective buyers because they just love the way it feels. And those are just some of the many ways that it's used. And in today's world, you know, we have top-name celebrities and famous people that have employed feng shui masters, Donald Trump, David Copperfield. He's got all these beautiful houses in the Bahamas, and he has used feng shui masters for that. Designer Donna Karan, she added some red to her stores and tripled her sales overnight. So Disney World, Marriott, a lot of people have used feng shui masters. Many cities are built on its principles, obviously Hong Kong and other cities are built on water for sure. I spoke to a woman one time, and we were just sitting down talking about it, and she asked me what I did, and we were talking, and she said, oh, well, I would never use that. I don't need it. And I said to her, well, you don't need harmony in your life. Because she had this image that, you know, if you did feng shui, it's because something was wrong with you and you would have to do some kind of weird thing. And so this is a misconception. I mean, who doesn't want more harmony and who doesn't want their space to feel better? We all know that our environment affects us. it's such a big issue and such a big topic anymore. There's actually degrees at universities on environmental psychology, that people understand that the environment is so crucial. And 90% of our lives are spent at home or at work, so those it's invariable that those are going to affect us. And they need to reflect what we want out of life. And they're really important for kids, because kids are very susceptible to energy, and so are pets. So if your space is not optimum, not feeling good, is cluttered, and feels kind of stagnant, then, you know, you're going to have some problems. And your kids and your pets are going to be the first to tell you. So the next topic is just, let me take a little break here. Is there any questions on anything I've said so far? You just star six if you want to say anything. Okay, well, I'll go on, and then I'll leave some time again towards the end. So why do some people get better results than others? And like I said, I've been doing this a really long time, and I remember being told by a feng shui, well, one of my teachers, my early teachers, was the type of person who, because he's been training ever since he was a child, his family had a lineage of feng shui in it. So, you know, he'd been trained in it, and he's also a very much on a spiritual path. So he's very attuned to qi. He could feel it. He knew what when it was off. And so he could walk into a space blindfolded and tell you what was wrong with the space. So, you know, his cures were pretty much like a couple of things. He would come in and say, you know, you need to change the door here, or you need to add some coverings on these windows, or whatever he would say. They were minor. And people would have all these great results. I mean, they'd have shifts in their life. As a matter of fact, when he was in China, he was a professor teaching, and this American student would notice that there were all these people coming into his classroom interrupting him every day while she was taking Chinese, asking him questions about their spaces or their houses or their properties. And she was, like, fascinated with that. What is this? So she started interviewing him, and then that turned out to be the very first book on feng shui, which is Interior Design with Feng Shui by Sarah Rossbach, and is all about his studies and his philosophy on feng shui. And that's the Western method. That's how it began, the black cat sect. Black cat is a form of Buddhism, and that's his background and tradition. And so basically he just, you know, gave her all of his secrets, if you will, and that's in that book. And everything from there, all the teachers that have come from that time, you know, are the teachers that have written all the books that you see on the shelf. So that was sort of him. So he would just kind of do a couple of things. Well, when I first started, even my teacher, who was under him, you know, gave me a whole bunch of cures for my house, which is great. And I had super results in my corporate career right after that. I mean, I just totally had more pay raises and promotions in a 2-year period than I had in the previous 10. So I knew there was something to it, and I continued to study and while I was still working, and then decided to get trained formally in China and then stay a few more years and then resign to do this full time. And so because I was new at it, you know, I wanted to be sure, so I would give, you know, people like all kinds of, you know, cures, you know, one for health, one for wealth, one for relationship, you know, and you know, just be all these cures. And so they would have nice results and things would go well and whatever, but I noticed that, you know, the masters, they don't need to do that. They can give 2 or 3 and have these results. But we live in a Western world where, you know, you can't go to the doctor and the doctor say you don't need anything, because people don't think they're getting their money's worth. They want a prescription, and they want more than one prescription many times. So that's sort of the way, you know, my clients were, and I know a lot of consultants feel the same, you know, that they need to have, like, cures for all kinds of things. And that's fine, you know. But what I noticed is that people who I gave some of the fewest cures had some of the most dramatic results, and some of the ones that gave a lot of the cures had fewer results. And, you know, I kind of wondered about that. I thought, well, gosh, you know, what's going on? And what I realized is that people who are ready for change, they have a prosperity mentality. In other words, they don't feel that there's any lack. They're just somehow, we're not, you know, they're blocking themselves and didn't know it. And somebody comes in as like a facilitator, like myself or, you know, another consultant, then can unlock that, and then things happen for them. So we, with our own minds, physically as well, you know, meaning that we would put a block physically to something, you know, we can block our own success, and we can block that flow. So this flow and these results might be happening all around you, and you're missing them because you weren't open to it and allowing yourself to receive this. I have people that say they want, you know, all this business and this flow of income in a on a monthly basis, but if it, in reality, if it really came to them, could they handle it? And that's the key, is when you write intentions, which we're very big on in feng shui, you want to write an intention for, you know, money is flowing easily into my life, and I'm comfortable with that. And or, you know, I'm winning, you know, I'm getting great windfalls, such as a lottery, and I'm totally have a foundation set to be able to receive that money. Because otherwise, you know, you get there and or somehow you block that because, you know, in your subconscious mind, it's not going to be comfortable with you getting the kind of success you're asking for. So you always have to kind of check yourself when you're doing those intentions if you're the one that's really blocking that. And then the other is the clients who follow the instructions that I give. They're very excited about it. They implement the changes right away, and they follow up with me. They have great results. I have clients who have paid me a lot of money, and I say this because it's a shame, paid me a lot of money. Part of their consult is for me to follow up and for me to check in with them, for me to go back and do a follow-up visit, and I never hear from them. And so, therefore, you know, the results aren't as great because they didn't implement half the things and they didn't follow up. So their results aren't going to be as great. And I know this. And even the ones I follow up with, and I notice that they ask me to come back, but they haven't made the changes, those areas of their lives are not working. And so I will bring that up to them, and I'll find that, you know, those are areas of their life that are very difficult for them. You know, it's difficult for them to have a shift in a relationship, even though they say that's what they want. And I want a partner, but yet, you know, they didn't implement all the things that were suggested. So there's some fears there. So those are the folks that I think have more of issues. And then when I always tell people, you know, if you have some issues with anything, then do a check and say, am I comfortable receiving these things? And then if you're not, find out what the fears are. And if you have a hard time with that, get some professional counseling because it will really help you to, and that can even be energy work, but something to unblock those fears and doubts that you might have to receiving what you say you want. Because basically what we're doing in feng shui is we're really releasing any blocks in your life that might be affecting you that you don't see for yourself. And, you know, even I, you know, I use a feng shui master for my cures. I don't do my own. I mean, because we all have blocks to our own selves. That doesn't mean that I don't maintain and I don't feng shui my house like many of you do. But then when I'm needing something extra, I always bring somebody else because I need that other eye that's, you know, totally unbiased that can say, okay, this is what's going on. So if you have had your space feng shui before, you can enhance your results by doing the following things. Let me write this down. Okay, so you can update your space. You want to update your space every few months as a rule anyway. If you've never had your space feng shui, these are some things you can still do. But for people who've already done some or they've had their house done this year or they kind of know how to do some things, what you want to do is every few months you want to stand back and look at the space. And you want to see if it's reflecting what you want and where you're going. If you look at it and it looks really cluttered and heavy, you know it's slowing you down. And that has to do with clutter on your desk. It has to do with clutter in your email box. You know, if you go into your emails every morning and you have like 300 you have still to read or you just not dealt with, that's clutter. That's holding back opportunities because everything is energy. So that in itself is going to help you just create movement by standing back and looking at your space and saying, what is this, you know, is this reflecting it, you know, what I'm going for, and how's the clutter? Is it under control? I mean, am I getting rid of things easily and effortlessly, or am I holding on to a lot of stuff from the past? you're, you know, if you're working at some goal, you want to make sure that what surrounds you is all about that, not what you were working on a year ago. The other is to smudge or use some sage, and I use a Native American herb smudging. It's a smudge stick, which you can get at Whole Foods or any kind of like natural grocer, and sometimes incense stores. And you just light it, and you kind of go through your whole space. It's a purifier. The Native Americans use it a lot for warding off negative energies. It just puts, I call it resetting your clock. It really takes you back to the present. It gets rid of everything from the past, and then you're with new intention. I'm ready to, you know, to move myself forward. And always smudge with your doors and windows open, by the way. Don't smudge with everything locked up because the energy doesn't have anywhere to go. So, you know, so as we start getting some cooler weather here in Austin or where you live, you know, open up the doors and windows and then light the sage and go through the house or your office and smudge everything. And you know, state some new intentions of what you would like. I always have people write them down. You can type it on your computer and put it in a pretty red envelope. Red is a very high prosperity color. And that's something you can keep on your desk or on your bulletin board just to know. It's kind of like putting the universe on notice that this is what you're willing to receive, and you've released any blocks to it, and you're allowing the flow to move forward in your life. So intentions, getting rid of clutter, doing a little smudging is always very important. We talked about moving things around every 27 days. That creates a lot of movement. If it's in a particular life area, that's going to be affected. So, you know, if you want to really work on your health, then clean out your refrigerator. Get rid of anything that's stale and replace it with just, you know, a bowl of fresh fruit. It's wonderful to open up your refrigerator and just see color, like a nice a glass vase with orange juice in it, or a big bowl of lemons or a big bowl of fruit and grapes or something like that. And then have everything organized and looking nice, because that's going to rejuvenate you and your health. And, of course, your kitchen, you know, needs to be cleaned out too. So, but the refrigerator is a biggie, because that definitely affects your health. Again, your home reflects your thoughts and dreams. It's kind of like your mini world. And then you go out into the big world. So if your mini world isn't working, if it's stuck and there's you know, clutter and then or darkness or whatever, that's what you carry with you when you go out the door. So you never get to recharge. So if you have a house that's pretty cluttered right now, and you feel like you're overwhelmed and you need to, you know, how do I get a handle on all this? The room that I recommend that people work on first is the bedroom, because if you don't have energy physically, you can't do any of the other stuff. So if your bedroom is cluttered and you don't have a decent bed, and you have a lot of clutter under the bed, this all affects your sleep and your energy. If you have a lot of electromagnetics, meaning like clocks and TVs and things like that, also that affects you. So keeping your bedroom very calm and peaceful is very important, and keeping it very beautiful and making sure that that's where you can recharge your batteries, and then you can go forward and think about your office and other areas in your life and your health. Again, be clear on what's blocking you emotionally or mentally. Do get some help with that if you feel like you're stuck on that. And then if you've never been feng shuied or you've never had a feng shui assessment, then I would get one, because it's worthwhile having another set of eyes kind of give you some perspective. And there's all kinds, depending on where you live, and different ways of doing it. Like I said, I help people by phone and also in person, but there's always different avenues for that. Okay, so any questions? I'm going to leave the rest of the time for questions. I'd love to get some good questions out of everything I just said, even if it's to share an experience you've had or anything that you would like to offer to other people listening. And just *6 your phone, and we'll all be able to hear you. no questions anybody has on their own space or any comments about anything that I've said.
Belinda?
Yes.
This is Karen.
Okay.
And you've known about the Massage Institute for many years. We're in a different space now.
Yes.
And Julie and Dan own the school now. I don't own it
okay.
anymore.
Okay.
But I still teach here, and we're going through a time when we have very few students, and I didn't know if maybe putting more mirrors in the classroom would help.
Karen is a massage instructor and owner, and we worked together many, many years ago when I first started my feng shui practice, and she had a small practice, and her school was about to close. She had she was really concerned, and she had a large tree out in her outside of her building, and there were some other little things that were blocking the entrance to her space, and we made some changes in that small space that eventually led her to not only having more students so that she could move to a bigger location. She was on the television. She had all this awareness. I mean, the growth was really amazing. And this all happened in a very short period of time. And so now what she's saying is now she's still involved with that school, but they have new owners, and there's some, a little bit of a decline in the enrollment at this time. So what can you do in that situation? Well, it's there's a lot of things, and part of it may be to get started is to do an energy clearing. Because when you have a shift of people, of old people moving out, and you want new people to come in, it probably would be a good idea to smudge the entire space and create a new intention. I don't know if you can do it with the new owners, but to create an intention. Okay.
Moved into the new space, we did that energy clearing, and that was about 3 years ago that we moved in. We did the energy clearing at the beginning, but from what I hear you saying is that as we finish with one class and start another class, it would be good to do an energy clearing between each class.
Well, not so much between each class, but 3 years is a very long time. A lot of energy shift has gone on in 3 years, and a lot of changes. So you don't have to smudge every class, but I would say to do a quarterly smudging, because you have so much activity coming in and out of the school that basically, and you're working with people's physical bodies and their energy fields and what they're bringing in, so that if you do it quarterly, then at least you're bringing in new energy and it's staying fresh, and then with intention, and if you can write the intentions together and even post them somewhere visibly that, the massage school is prospering and we have great clients, and we have a wonderful reputation, and we constantly are growing. And that's somewhere where everybody can see, even the students. I think that's a really positive thing, too. It adds energy to the space. The other thing is to always add some greenery, some live plants, because life greenery is new opportunities, and it's bringing in energy, new energy. So that's another thing that can be put at the entrance of the, when you walk in,
right.
As well as, mirrors are great, but, you've got to be careful about where you place them.
Right.
So I'm a little cautious about saying, yes, mirrors when I don't know where they're going. But
right.
They are good if they're, expanding the space and making it look larger.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's great to have a water feature as well when you enter your space, because water is creating that movement of energy into the business.
And that worked really well when you feng shuied my business years and years ago. It was wonderful.
Right, right. And see, this is the thing that some people have said to me, and I've worked with some people years and years ago, And they said, yeah, well, you worked on me, you know, worked with us a long time ago, and now our relationship is really going downhill. Well, how long ago is that? You know, it's like 7 years ago. And, you know, you have to keep the feng shui up, you know, and you have to constantly be doing the things. I have people that say, well, you know, my water feature broke. What do? You get a new one. You know, I mean, if you are using it like you should, which is every day, they'll wear out.
Right.
And so you want to replace and you want to constantly update. You constantly want to look at the space and continue that, because a lot of times what happens is people start having such great results or movement that they just let the feng shui go. And the next thing you know, the office is cluttered again, and the plants haven't been watered, and all these things happen because they're so busy.
Right.
And so guess what? Over time, it's going to slow down and it's going to actually come to a halt. So it's very important to be aware of that. So for any other reason that you might be on this call, it's just to be aware that you have to constantly update your space and look at it and say, what can I do to rejuvenate and open up the flow a little bit more? And the best way to determine whether you need feng shui and you need to do anything is by your results. So if you're not getting the kind of results you want in terms of, you know, new clients, more money, relationship, health, whatever, then look at those areas and say, okay, that needs activating. That needs work. Do I need to go and look at the areas that, you know, might need it, like my front door, if that's where people are entering? How does it look? You know, is it inviting? Is it welcoming? Especially for a business. Great question. That's super. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have a question? Don't be shy. No one will know it's you. Because if you just say your first name, I don't think anybody will know it's you in the future, even though these will be recorded. Well, I'll just touch on that point again because it's so integral, and that is the idea that feng shui is dynamic. It is a constant process. It's a way of life. It's not something you do once and you're done with it. You don't necessarily need a consultant to help you every time, but you do need to keep it up. And what I do every year in January is for my clients is that I do a 2013 update. So it's every year we have energies that shift, and every year we have energies that are good and some not so good. Like in 2013, we had some energies that have been very difficult, and there's cures for that according to the classical feng shui. So people will put those into place and everything, and that's great, but then during the year, you know, if they're getting clutter or if they're getting bogged down with fears about things or they're not keeping up their space, then they're not going to work as well. So it's always important to take a look at what's going on. And that's from the moment you drive into your apartment or your home, that's curb appeal, that's front door, foyer. If you come into your garage cannot be cluttered and you stepping over things in order to get into your house, that all affects your results because that means that you're being blocked. So again, if you can do anything, it's to remove clutter as much as you can, add life to a space with either water or plants or color. You know, a color is always a great way to energize a space. And there are different colors that you can use for different things. And you know, I might get into that on another seminar. So, you know, what colors enhance what? That might be a good topic. But, you know, it's just the idea of adding some color. If you want prosperity, reds are always great. If you want more money, greens. And then adding some water. You know, I have a water feature here in my office, and it's always great. I leave it on, and if I go out of town even for a day, I leave it on. And I turn it off if I don't, you know, if I know I'll be gone a while. But then when I come back, I might not turn it on right away because I, I need time to download a little bit before I start getting busy again. Turn the water feature on. Business starts up again. It's a lot of these things you can do just by experiment and see how they work. But if you realize that everything's made up of energy and that you can affect it, see, we cannot change chi or energy. We can't change what it's made of, but we can move it around. So that's the beauty of it. That's what we're doing when we're talking about feng shui, is moving things around. I had an attorney who I worked with on his office. He was having problems bringing in new clients, and so we rearranged his office. We turned his desk around, we put some plants in there, and did a little water feature and did some stuff. And his business was booming, and within the next month, 30 days, he was just, he was so busy. I called him up, and I said, well, how are things going? And he said, well, they're going great. I have so much business right now. And he says, but I don't think it had much to do with the feng shui. I was already starting a marketing program, and I think, that has, that was already in the works. And I said to him, well, I have a way you can test it. And he says, really? And I said, yeah, we'll just put everything back. Let's move the desk back, take the plants out, take the water out, and then see what happens. He says, no way. So, on one level, he wasn't giving feng shui the full credit, but on another level, he was like, I'm not going to change anything because something's happening. And that's what a lot of times people report. They don't even really understand how it works. They just know it does. So, again, I really thank you guys for being on the call so much.
Should I ask one more question?
Sure, sure.
Using the Bagua, since mm-hmm. I don't come in my front door, I come in my back door, but when somebody comes to my house, they come to the front door. Which door would I use for using the Bagua?
The front door.
The front door, even though I always come in the back?
Yes.
Okay.
The Bagua map that maybe some of you are familiar with and maybe not, you can find, or you can Google it, Bagua, B-A-G-U-A, is an 8-sided octagon, and it has all the life areas. And basically, you can orient this to any space. And what she's asking is, how do you orient it if you come into a garage or at your front door? In feng shui, it's your architectural front door that is considered the mouth of chi. That's the energy flow. That's where energy flows. Now, you may be using your garage every day, so you're getting a lot of chi flow there. But the way you would orient the Bagua would be the actual front door. And that will tell you what life area it is. And you just kind of place it with the north always being your front door. So it doesn't have anything to do with directions per se. It's just called your career, the front of the map. But, that's just something that if you decide you want to do, you can Google that and, you can place that on your space and it'll tell you what different areas of your house mean. And that's another way of doing it. So, but they always orient that particular map with the architectural front door.
Thank you for answering that.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, again, any other last questions? Well, I really thank you guys for listening, and I hope tonight's information made a difference in your life in some way. And I'd love to talk to you next month on Thursday night, which will be October 10th, for the continuation of our monthly series. And again, if you have specific questions that you'd like me to address, please email me. Check our website, designforenergy.com, for the upcoming topics. And, feel free to bring any questions, tonight, like Karen had. That's great. I always welcome that because we can all benefit. And until next month, I wish you all the best. Do email me, call me. My number is 512-740-1251 if I can help you. Again, I always offer that free 30-minute phone assessment. And I wish you all the best, many fortunate blessings, and a wonderfully good night. See you next time.
Thank you.